afternoon. Yeah, as soon as I clear up my voice here, I guess I can say good afternoon. I laughed so hard during the the previous 2 hours that I'm kind of verklempt, as the lady would say. And another thing is I'm going to try. I don't know how we're going to go from the last 2 hours to this. I'm going to do, this is A Progressive Life, and I'm Glenn Coble, your moderator, I guess we would call me. And we're going to go over the life of John Lewis, our recently deceased congressman, who is now lying in state. And I tell you what, going from the last 2 hours to this is going to be a challenge. But hey, are you getting tired of having to sing to yourself happy birthday twice while you're washing your hands? I certainly am. That kind of gets old after a while. Anyway, I was just down the hall using the facilities, and I thought to myself, this is really old, singing happy birthday to myself twice so I know how long to wash my hands. Oh, well. I'm going to have to find something else that takes 20 seconds. I guess it's supposed to be 20 seconds you wash your hands. I hope you're all doing well. I'm going to try and get a little breath in before we get into this very very sad, but also very, very victorious passing of John Lewis. I truly believe that his passing will lead to better things in this world and a better life for Americans. Like he said, we're all in the same, I think he said we're all in the same boat, didn't he? Oh, we're all in the same house, all of us. Black, brown, yellow, red, white, we're all in the same house. Here in the United States, you can say we're all in the same boat. And if you don't believe that, I would be surprised. I think most people understand that we are in this together. Unfortunately, right now, we happen to be the worst case of fungus, yes, of virus in the world by far. We have, what, a quarter of all the sick people? And I think we're only 4% of the population of the world. And we have a quarter of all the sick people. We need to figure out how to get past this. And I guess my expression to you is, and I've been doing this ever since the very beginning, wear a mask when you're outside and you're going to be around people. I don't wear the mask while I'm walking, doing my exercise, because I never run into people. So not only do I not run into them, I don't get close to anybody. And if I do go by somebody, I give them a berth of 6 to 8 feet, just as because I care about them more than I care about me, because I really think that is the that's what the wearing of the mask, and that's what the distance is your care for your fellow man and the person that's in the same boat with you. We do have a phone call. I'll see what this person has to say. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to work my way down from the last 2 hours where I laughed a lot.
Boy, I'll tell you, you were the leader of the Rat Pack there, weren't you?
Well, wait a minute. The other two are out in the lobby. Maybe I ought to drag them in here so you can explain to them that, yes, I am the leader.
Okay, that's what I thought there. You had Dean Martin and you had Sammy Davis Jr. there.
And we had Frickin' Frack, too.
Well, there you go. You guys could have been the new Rat Pack there.
Well, we are the Rat Pack when it comes to singing. We sound like rats.
Nah, you guys did a super-duper job there.
I hope you enjoyed yourself.
You entertain people, and that's very hard to do.
Well, we entertained ourselves at least.
Yes.
I did. I laughed the entire time.
I did too. I mean, you guys just, you guys have a chemistry
like no other
people have, you know?
That's nice you say that. And I hope it makes you feel happy.
I enjoy talking to all of you because I get a bang out of you. And you guys are the ones that actually stand up and let us get on there and talk. You know?
Well, we like hearing you because then we don't have to say so much.
Well, there you go. And then maybe you learn something from us, but we learn a whole lot from you guys.
I hope so. Today I'm going to read John Lewis's speech that he gave at the March of Washington. And one of the reasons why I do things like that, I did Frederick Douglass' speech a few weeks back, and I did somebody else's speech last week. I don't remember. The Gettysburg Address. And I try to do that as a learning thing for everybody. The speech today isn't nearly as long as the other ones, but I hope you enjoy it, and I hope we all learn something from it. I know I have.
Yeah, there's things I never would imagine that I hear from you guys.
Well, good.
Yes, I said. And when you stop and think about it, you know, it all makes sense. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun to be able to tease, we tease each other immensely, but it's kind of fun to tease each other, you know. There is no ill will in our teasing with each other.
Well, that's what makes you guys so good at what you guys do.
Well, thanks. And Scott doesn't like anybody, but the rest of us around here like each other.
Well, there you go, but then again, you guys have so much chemistry.
Well, thank you.
And we all love you, you know.
Good.
And I, you know, I hope more listeners would, if they haven't heard your station, they need to get on there.
I'll tell people.
I suppose you got a pretty big fanfare going there.
We think we have a pretty good audience, yeah. Scott says he has a number that you can figure out by the number of callers you get. That's multiply it by a certain number, and that'll tell you how many regular listeners you have. So we're comfortable, but we'd love to have more.
Yeah, that's true there, you know.
Yep.
And like I said, you know, for, I hope that never happens, but some foregone reason that we had to lose you on the radio there, I think we'd all be lost.
Well, that's kind of you to say. I doubt that would happen. You'd find another source, but thank you.
Not half as fun as we have with you guys.
All right.
You have a good day.
You have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, there are people that do like us. And that's very nice of him to say. Well, that kind of will help me get over to this other task at hand. And truly, the reason why I do this sort of thing. And I think it's good. It's like going to school. I'm sorry. But we need to learn about those people that are in the boat with us, or those people that are in the same house with us. All of us Americans have benefited from people like John Lewis. John Lewis was an Alabama, he is the son of an Alabama sharecropper. Most of us don't even know what sharecroppers do, but they certainly didn't make much money, and they were basically slaves that got a few bucks to spending money. You know, it was a tough job. He attended segregated schools, as everybody did down in the South at the time. Being in Alabama, I'm sure he never saw the inside of a white schoolhouse. And I'm saying that as a schoolhouse that teaches white people, because they were not welcome there. You know, it kind of reminds me, I was looking up the era of Crow stuff, you know, when they made all the laws to kind of make it equal, but not, they just wanted to maintain segregation, so they did Jim Crow, all these Jim Crow laws. I looked that up, by the way. Jim Crow was a caricature that was devised by a white man who did it in blackface. and kind of a way of making fun of what he saw as the black African American situation. But anyway, I looked it up, and I thought, well, that was just after the Civil War, and maybe a little bit into the early 1900s, but no, it didn't end. Jim Crow did not end until 1965, when the Civil Rights was passed, the law was passed that really helped, but didn't really get everything straight and on the straight and narrow. Anyway, Lewis was grew up in the South under Jim Crow laws. He wasn't allowed to ride on the front of the bus. He wasn't allowed to drink out of a water fountain that was marked white. He wasn't allowed to go to white schools. He grew up in that segregated era of the South. I'm not sure if I told this story before, but a singer friend of mine, a gentleman who was in the Soldiers of Song, which was the chorus that I was in with the Army Field Band, Bob Throne. He was an African American gentleman, the only one in the Soldiers of Song at the time that I was in it. Now, there have been more, and there were more, but at that time there was only one. And Bob and I walked over to, we were down in Dothan, Alabama, which is where Lewis is from. We were in Dothan, Alabama, and we were in going to do a concert there. The Army Field Band was setting up, and as was our routine, many of us decided we'd get a drink of water so that, you know, get the pipes flowing and that sort of thing. When you're singing, you need to keep that instrument well lubricated, and water is about the only thing you can do before you go on and sing, because you got to remember all the words. So you don't want to lubricate it with something that might hinder you do that. But anyway, so several of us walked over to the water fountain, and Bob and I were together, and I leaned over to take a drink of water, and Bob leaned over right after me, and a gentleman said to him, "Hey boy, can't you read?" That's what he said. "Hey boy, can't you read?" And neither one of us knew what he was talking about. I looked at Bob, and Bob looked at me and kind of shrugged, and the guy pointed to a very faded sign underneath the water fountain that said "Whites Only." And to tell you the honest truth, I'd love to give you a story that made me sound brave and everything, but I kind of was stunned. I didn't do anything. I just kind of stepped back, and Bob did too. Bob didn't take a drink. He walked away, that was my close encounter with Jim Crow laws. Lewis went to, he wanted to go to Troy State, which is now Troy University. But his parents dissuaded him from doing that, and he ended up going to, in Nashville, to the American Baptist Theological Institute. And then Fisk University. I got his B.A. there in philosophy and religion in 67. He undertook studies of nonviolent protest, which was kind of a new thing back then in early 60s, I'm sorry. He became a member of the Freedom Rides. And there were several people that didn't come back from the Freedom Rides, which is a really sad chapter in the American history, where people forgot that we were all riding in the same boat. Trying to look down through here and see if there are some things. He was very involved in the civil rights movement. He was among the leaders of what they called the Big Six back then, which included Martin Luther King, James Farmer, Philip Randolph, Roy Wilkins, Whitney Young. And in 1964, Lewis headed the SNCC efforts, Student for Nonviolent, Nonviolent something or other efforts. And what they did in 64 is they went out and they tried to register African-American voters, which made a lot of people angry. Now, if you recall correctly, back when SNCC was in its heyday, a lot of people thought of SNCC as a, not a terrorist organization, but as a violent, angry organization. And at the time, I was one of those people. I was one of those stupid white people that thought that's what they were there for. And I must admit that I knew nothing about it. The name SNCC stuck with them, and that kind of gave you a bad feeling anyway. But basically what they were there for is to educate about the civil rights of African Americans, not to do anything violent or anything along that line. He also was involved with the Peace Corps and the Volunteers in Service to America, VISTA. You might know that as that name. He was a councilman in Atlanta in 1981 through 1986, and he became representing the district that included Atlanta in the U.S. House of Representatives, I think in 86, I think that was when it was. Some of the honors that he was awarded, he was awarded Martin Luther King Jr. Nonviolent Peace Prize in 75 and John F. Kennedy Profiles in Courage Award in 01. And the National Association of Advancement of Colored Peoples, or as we know it, NAACP, their Spingarn Medal in 02. And in 2011, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which probably was his highest award from the government. His memoirs, including Walking the Wind and his March Trilogy, and they were co-written by Andrew Aden. Let's see what else we got here. The final installment of that series received numerous honors, including the National Book Award and the Coretta Scott King Book Award in 2017. He was just a remarkable gentleman who put his body where his mouth was. He was beaten several times. And if you're my age, you remember how really horrible some of these scenes were that we watched on television of little African-American girls being knocked over by police batons and young African-American men being blasted with the water hoses. And those water cannons that they used could really push a wallop. Well, anyway, the speech I'm going to read to you today, it's fairly short. It was the speech that John Lewis gave on August 28th in 1963. This speech, he wrote a speech and then was required to have it edited by some of the probably by some of the members of SNCC and also by other nonviolent people. Maybe even Martin Luther King looked through it. Most of the people that looked through his speech said, you've got to change it. It was too violent. It was too angry. Not violent, just angry. Because Lewis, even though he was angry, truly believed in nonviolence. But he was angry. And he was angrier than a hornet. He had it changed several times, including right up to the very last minute before he walked up and gave this speech at the March on Washington. If you remember it, he looked angry, and he was angry as he gave the speech. Excuse me, I have to clear my throat a little bit so that I can give you this speech. Now, when you listen to the speech, remember the time. It mentions having a good FEPC bill. And I'm trying to remember what that was. There are a few things in here you might not recognize because they were of that time. But it's kind of like the speech I read from Frederick Douglass. It loses a little bit because we're now in the 2020s rather than the 1960s. As if you're like me and you grew up in the 60s, I was a young man. In 1963, I was a junior in high school, so I was very well aware of what was going on. Had my own thoughts about what was going on, and which many of them were seasoned by watching television, seasoned by listening to old white men explain what was going on. Unfortunately, we live with that history, and we miss out on a lot of the nuance of the history. And I'm going to read this, and I hope that you can understand how angry he was at this time. But remember, he did not believe in violence. We march today for jobs and freedom, but we have nothing to be proud of, for hundreds and thousands of our brothers are not here. For they are receiving starvation wages or no wage at all. While we stand here, there are sharecroppers in the Delta of Mississippi who are out in the fields working for less than $3 a day, 12 hours a day. While we stand here, there are students in jail on trumped-up charges. Our brother, James Farmer, he was civil rights worker, I'm sorry. Our brother, James Farmer, along with many others, is also in jail. We come here today with a great sense of misgiving. It is true that we support the administration's civil rights bill. We support it with great reservations, however. Unless Title III is put in this bill, there is nothing to protect the young children and the old women who must face police dogs and fire hoses in the South while they engage in peaceful protestations. In its present form, this bill will not protect the citizens of Danville, Virginia, who must live in constant fear of a police state. It will not protect the hundreds and thousands of people that have been arrested on Trump charges. What about the three young men, SNCC field secretaries in Americus, Georgia, who faced the death penalty for engaging in peaceful protests? It stands now. The voting section of this bill will not help the thousands of black people who want to vote. It will not help the citizens of Mississippi, of Alabama, and Georgia who are qualified to vote but lack a sixth grade education. One man, one vote is the African cry. It is ours too. It must be ours. We must have legislation that will protect the Mississippi sharecropper who is put off of his farm because he dares to register to vote. We need a bill that will provide for the homeless and the starving people of this nation. We need a bill that will ensure the equality of a maid who earns $5 a week in a home of a family whose total income is $100,000 a year. We must have good FEPC bill. My friends, let us not forget that we are involved in a serious social revolution. By and large, American politics is dominated by politicians who build their careers on immoral compromises and ally themselves with open forums of political, economic, and social exploitation. There are exceptions, of course. We salute those. But what political leader can stand up and say, "My party is the party of principles"? For the party of Kennedy is also the party of Eastland. The party of Javis is also the party of Goldwater. Where is our party? Where is the political party that will make it unnecessary to march in Washington? Where is the political party that will make it unnecessary to march in the streets of Birmingham? Where is the political party that will protect the citizens of Albany, Georgia? Do you know that in Albany, Georgia, 9 of our leaders have not been indicted, not by the Dixiecrats, but by the federal government for peaceful protest? But what did the federal government do when Albany's deputy sheriff beat attorney C.B. King and left him half dead? What did the federal government do when the local police officials kicked and assaulted the pregnant wife of Slater King and she lost her baby? To those who have said, "Be patient and wait," we have long said that we cannot be patient. We do not want our freedom gradually, but we want to be free now. We are tired. We are tired of being beaten by policemen. We are tired of seeing our people locked up in jail over and over again, and then hollered at. Be patient. How long can we be patient? We want our freedom, and we want it now. We do not want to go to jail, but we will go to jail if this is the price we must pay for love, brotherhood, and true peace. I appeal to all of you to get into this great revolution that is sweeping this nation. Get in and stay in the streets of every city, every village, and hamlet of this nation until true freedom comes, until the revolution of 1776 is complete. We must get in this revolution and complete the revolution. For in the Delta of Mississippi, in the southwest of Georgia, in the Black Belt of Alabama, in Harlem, in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and all over this nation, the black masses are on the march for jobs and freedom. They're talking about slow down and stop. We will not stop. All of the forces of Eastland, Barnett, Wallace, and Thurman, will not stop this revolution. If we do not get meaningful legislation out of this Congress, the time will come when we will not confine our marching to Washington. We will march through the streets of the South, through the streets of Jackson, through the streets of Danville, through the streets of Cambridge, through the streets of Birmingham. But we will march with the spirit of love and with the spirit of dignity that we have shown here today. By the force of our demands, our determination, and our numbers, we shall splinter the segregated South into thousands of pieces and put them together in the image of God and democracy. We must say, "Wake up, America! Wake up!" For we cannot stop, and we will not, and cannot be patient. That was John Lewis's speech at the 1963 March on Washington. It was a very emotional and very angry speech, but it could have been said in 2020. There are people out there right now on our streets in Portland, Oregon, in, well, all around right now, that are saying a similar thing, and they're doing it peacefully. No matter what our government says. And the thing that's really, truly, truly scares me about this, I've lived long enough to hear, I can't remember the word I'm looking for, but I've heard despots saying the same thing about their people in foreign countries, then sending their private militia out to shoot those people down to stop the protest. Our protesters, no matter what this particular administration says, our protesters right now are doing it fairly peacefully. They tend to be agitated, and I'm certain there are probably people that are out there just for the fun or just for the instigation or just for the money that they might be able to steal out of places. And I'm sure there are people like that. But there would be no opportunity for those people to do that sort of evil protestation if we didn't have a need for the peaceful protestation of this particular government. I obviously am not a Trump fan, but I am a people fan, and I am an American fan, and I love our people, and I believe that most people want to do right. I've been in several protests. I know that I cannot recall people being evil on the side of honor and justice. I have seen people doing evil to stop people asking for justice and equality. I've seen people have their heads cracked with billy clubs. I saw a poor lady. We were at the march in, well, it wasn't a march, it was just a gathering, about 15,000 people in I can't remember the name of the park, Grant Park in Chicago, when the Democratic Convention was going on in 68. I saw a lady beg a young man. And I'm not so certain this young man wanted to do evil, but he crawled up the American flagpole and cut the rope and dragged down the American flag and tried to hoist the North Vietnamese flag. And this lady begged him not to do it. She said that wasn't what they were there for. They were there to be heard and not to be seen. And he was up on the flagpole, and it was kind of hard to keep his balance and stuff. So he was kicking at her so that she wouldn't grab at his feet. And he kicked her teeth out of her face. It was terrible to watch. She was probably... she was probably young compared to me now. She was probably in her 50s. I do remember listening to the Seven on the stage saying, the whole world is watching. And the whole world was watching. Vietnam was a not a great war, let's face it. Not that I believe any war is a great war. You show me a great war, and I'll show you that it's run by people that are corrupt in their beliefs. The Crusades, Genghis Khan, the War of the Roses. I cannot see too many wars that have a positive outcome. Now, unfortunately, World War II probably was one of the closer ones where we... did away with a despot. We did away with an evil Nazi regime. And so I might give a little credit to that. But most wars are started by somebody that wants to be somebody, somebody that wants to make money off of it, somebody that wants power, wants to be the head, and wants to be able to tell other people to go shoot that person or go throw that guy in jail because they are saying nice things about me. Now, unfortunately, and maybe this is just me, but unfortunately I see a lot of that echoing in today's administration in the United States. I haven't said much about it. I mean, I've said some things about it, but I have not been nearly so concerned about it as I have become in the last couple of weeks with people out in the streets wearing military uniforms with no names on it, being identified by no one, doing nothing but causing violence against people that are being 99% nonviolent. I don't know if you watch that very tall, strong former Navy man being smacked by that policeman with the baton. He hit him up high, then he hit him in the middle, then he hit him in his legs, trying to get him to submit or fall to the ground or to give up. The gentleman apparently, after it was over, found that they had broken his wrist, but he stood there in face, and all he was doing was asking them, why are they going against their calling? When you're in the service, you're supposed to protect the Constitution of the United States. That's what you're there for. Protect the Constitution and the people that are the citizens of your country. It's not to put them under your thumb. It's to protect them and to protect the Constitution. And unfortunately, right now, the Constitution has been blown apart, as far as I can see, by people who have power telling other people not to follow the law, not to answer to subpoenas, not to be concerned about going to jail because they will get them out of jail, not to even be kind or good as a human being. We have people that think that they should be able to do whatever they please in their efforts to gain more power, more money, and other things. I once told my wife when I was young, you know why people get into politics, don't you? And she, naturally, in her way of looking at me, you know, over her reader glasses and kind of ready for just about anything, right? Because I tend to babble on to my wife. But I said, you know why people get into politics? And she said, no, why don't you tell me? I see people get into politics for money, power, and sex. And she looked at me like, how do you get that? I said, actually, it's the other way around. They get into politics for sex, money, and power, because money and power get you the sex. And all at the, back then, just about all the politicians were male. And stop and think of the number of bad things that politicians have done. And I'm just talking sexually, from Bill Clinton to the current occupant of the White House. One of the people that was running for office, and boy, I've lost her name now. She was running for state representative up north of here. When I was running for state representative, she was one of the women that accused the president of sexual misconduct. Boy, why can't I remember her name? I can see her face. She was a very nice lady. We talked for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at one of the Democratic caucus meetings, and she explained to me exactly what happened. She was waiting outside of an elevator, or standing outside of an elevator, and he got off the elevator and kind of forced himself on her and gave her a kiss, which she did not really want. I think she told me she slapped him. She is a very pretty young woman, and did not ask for anything like that. This current president felt that was something he was due. He was due a kiss from this pretty young woman that was standing by the elevator. I know that's not a huge thing, A kiss isn't something that we're going to rule the world over. However, there have been some kisses that have caused the world to go to war. But anyway, boy, I wish I could remember her name. I'm trying to look it up in my phone, and I can't do that and talk at the same time. Anyway, we talked a long time, and she was very devout and still is active politically. I'm pretty sure she did not win her election either. That was the in 2018. The Democrats were pretty much crushed in Ohio. Now, I think I've talked to two of them fairly recently, Craig Schwartz and Tiffany Roberts. I struggle with names at my age. Anyway, I talked to both of them, and they're comfortable. They're feeling that there might be a blue wave in Ohio. I don't agree with them, but they're hoping that there will be this blue wave. And by the way, I would love to talk to those people that they're running against. I can't remember. Tracy Richardson is the woman that's running against Tiffany Roberts. I can't remember the person that's running against Craig, but I would love to have them come on. Now, I'm going to ask some straightforward questions. One of them is, do you support the corruption that unfortunately I believe that the Republican Party is going through? And they were not always, I was a Republican for the first half of my life, and they were a great, there needs to be a counterbalance in everything. Those of us who are left-leaning believe in helping people, and I would say no matter the cost, but there obviously is a cost problem, but it's more of a giving type of attitude, whereas the people that were, back when I was younger, the people that were on the Republican side were, like when I was there, more fiscally responsible. And that's kind of hard to say. It wasn't necessarily fiscally responsible, but more aware of where the money was going. And then for some reason or other, we got the Tea Party coming on board, the Republican Party. It seems to me, I met a lot of Tea Party members when I was running for office, and I could agree with them in several positions. But unfortunately, they've lost their way through people like Jim Jordan, who is our congressman, just owning up or trying to get power by kissing up to the current administration. I know that that's a little rougher than I usually talk about the political process. But I think we've gotten to a situation. We're now down to, what, 98 days, 97 days till the election. And I am very frightful of the 87 days between if the Republicans get voted out, both at the presidential level and as also as the Senate level. I am very frightened that there will be some really bad shenanigans that go on. Illegal, unlawful, unethical, lots of stuff. Because so far, I don't care who doesn't like it, so far this administration has shown that they don't really care about ethics or honesty or empathy for all of us in this ship of state we call America. I hope you're as proud of America as I am, but I hope we can maintain our pride by getting this ship back on equilibrium. I am very uncomfortable about looking forward, and I do not believe that necessarily that Trump is going to lose and that will straighten things out. We'll have to wait and see. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. We should disagree. but we should also be honest. We should also be humble. We should also be caring. We should have empathy and be kind to our fellow man, because we're all in this boat together. As John Lewis would say, we're all together in this house. Well, I hope I didn't get too many of you too angry, and I hope I didn't bore you too badly. I hope that you listened to our show on the air right before this show, because we had a great time. We certainly did. We had a wonderful time in that show, and I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. We have James Anderson, our naturalist, will be on with me in the morning during the 10 to noon group, and then we will be on after that with Swap Shop. And you have yourself a great day and stay healthy, all right? Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1.